gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You don't know how good it feels to say that and actually have someone speak back to you. For many, many weeks it's been good morning, and then I've had to wait and pause and expect you to say good morning back from the camera. Well, obviously the choir behind me, but it's always good to have someone speak back to you. It is so good to be back in the Lord's house this morning for worship. It is so good to have you back in the pews this morning for worship. So thank you for joining us this morning for worship here at First Baptist Church of Elon. For those that are still watching this morning via Facebook Live at home, thank you for joining us with your friends and family. And I do want to remind those that are watching at home to go to our website this morning as well and pull up our bulletin, www.fbc-elon.org, and use that bulletin as a resource today for our worship service and for ministries coming up in the future here at First Baptist Elon. I do want to remind you that tonight we are continuing our winter Bible study, the book of James, putting faith into action. We're nearing the end of our study. This week and next week is when we'll wrap up the book of James. It's been an exciting time of diving into this New Testament letter found in the epistle of James and written by James the author. And we found so much information of how we're supposed to apply our faith life and put it into action every single day. Tonight we're going to be in session 7. We'll be looking at James chapter 5, which is the topic, looking at the topic of the rich and the suffering, comparing the two and how James saw it in the first century and how it applies to us today. So join me tonight at 5 p.m. on Facebook Live for that virtual winter Bible study. I do want to remind our church family, if you saw in your newsletter that church council and the Elon Roundtable was supposed to meet tonight, reminder that that has been postponed a couple weeks. Instead, we'll be meeting on Sunday, March 13th. So go ahead and mark your calendars for that date. Church council will meet at 4 o'clock that afternoon for our church ministry teams. And then at 5 o'clock, our Elon Roundtable business meeting will meet upstairs in the fellowship hall. So we want to encourage everyone to come out for that time of business and that time of discussion. We hope all of you will be a part of that time of business on March 13th. Thank you for bringing your non-perishable food items for the Salvation Army food pantry. We have already collected many items for them, but we've still got 1 week left. So if you haven't brought any items, or you know that you want to pick up a few additional items for the Salvation Army food pantry, please pick them up this week. Bring them by next Sunday. You saw the bin as you walked in the church this morning, and drop those off. You can bring them also Monday through Thursday when the church office is open. I also want to thank you for your generous donations to Carson and Laura Fushi, our CBF missionaries in Japan. That love offering that we've collected already, we've already raised over $1,200 that we'll be sending to Carson and Laura at the end of this week. So if you still want to contribute towards that love offering, please either drop it in the offering plate today or bring it by the church office tomorrow. We want to make sure we have time to process that with the rest of the offering that we've collected so we can send that to Carson and Laura in Japan at the end of this week. Finally, last but not least, the March newsletter will be coming out at the end of this week. If you have items that you want to place in the March newsletter, make sure you get it to Janice either today or definitely by tomorrow. We'll be putting that newsletter together this week. We want to make sure everything gets in there that needs to get in there. We are gathered here to worship. We're gathered here to celebrate the love that Christ has for us. So let us gather and sing praise to Him this morning. Let's sing to the Lord this day.
Well, good morning. Let's stand and let's worship together. We will sing a medley of three songs.
Thank you.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 24, reading verses 7 through 10 this morning. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. That is who we sing praise to today. He is the one. He is the one who is almighty. He is the one who is glory. And he opens the door for us to enter his presence. That's what worship is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, giving him thanks for being in our presence this day. Father God, you are the God of secret purposes and extravagant blessings. We come to praise you this day. We come because we want to. We sing our songs because we are glad to. We pray for your grace because we need to. And we ask for the love of Christ in our hearts, because without it, we are a dead loss. Please lift every shutter within our mind and open every door within our soul, that you, the Lord of glory, the God of countless hosts, may come in. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Come Thou, Almighty King. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Thank you.
next Sunday morning, we will once again gather together here in the sanctuary and virtually at 11 a.m. for our morning worship service. As a part of this worship service next Sunday, we as the body of Christ will gather around the table to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. As you arrive for worship next Sunday in the foyer, you will find the elements for communion, the prepackaged cup and wafer in a Ziploc bag for each individual to pick up. Now, during the service, attendees will be instructed when to partake of these elements. If you are deciding to watch the service next Sunday at home via Facebook Live, we want to encourage you to stop by the church this week, sometime between Monday and Thursday from 8:30 to 4 p.m. to pick up the elements. We already have them prepackaged and ready to go for you to pick up. So come by this week and pick them up so you can partake as a part of the worship service next Sunday morning as we gather around the table as the body of Christ here at First Baptist. Now at this time, I'll call on our deacon, John Hines, to come forward for our offertory prayer.
May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you satisfy our every desire and need. Your word says that we should give honor to you with the first fruits for our wealth. Accept our tithes and offerings as a gift of worship to you. Multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom. May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith so that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we be filled with all the fullness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Mark for our special music this morning. And thank you for our worship leaders this morning for leading us in our time of singing and praise this day. As we prepare to encounter God's word again this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time for a time of confession. Whatever is laying on our hearts this day, this week that's past, and this week that lies ahead of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God of love, we have come here today for a family reunion. We know that we are sisters and brothers in Christ. Each of us is your precious child. And yet there is still times of division in our lives, in our family. There are sibling rivalries, old resentments, new irritations. We're quick to anger, slow to forgive. We would much rather choose our relatives than acknowledge the all-inclusive nature of your family. Open our hearts to your love this day and show us the way of reconciliation. Teach us to see each brother and sister with your eyes. Help us claim our heritage as your own children and live together in unity as your family. Father, you remind us not to be distressed or angry with ourselves, for the God who reconciled Joseph and his brothers can surely reconcile our family. God's mercy extends to everyone. We are called to rejoice and live in that unity. God of all, gather us together in this time of prayer for our family. Expand our vision to understand each human being as our sister and as our brother. And enlarge our hearts to offer love for each other, even as you love each of us. As we prepare to continue our family reunion and worship this day, and in our community and in the world, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you again for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon. And again, it is good to see faces looking back at me this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, it may not be as good looking at my face this morning, but it is good to see your face this day. It is good. I know it has been a long time coming, but again, I thank you for your patience and your flexibility as we continue to navigate these COVID days in which we are in. We continue to pray for the numbers in our community, in our state, across our nation, and across the world to continue to decline as we return once again to our new state of normal, which is how I've been talking to people about. We're just in a new state of normal. I hope everyone enjoyed the celebration of Valentine's this past week. If you didn't take up my advice from last Sunday, which I preached on the history of Valentine's, it's still not too late. I went to the grocery store later this week, and they put all the Valentine's candy on sale. You can pick it up now. It's still good. It's all the thought that matters. So there you go. Go buy your Valentine's candy. And that is a day, not just that day, but all 364 days, the remaining days that we're called as Christians to live out that agape love that Christ has showed us and he modeled for us in his life. This morning we're going to continue to talk about love and specifically the power of reconciliation in the midst of our past and our present and our future relationships. How can we look at others with reconciliatory eyes? Looking with love in our relationships. You see, reconciliation is all about perspective. The following is a letter that was sent home to her parents from a daughter who was away at college. Listen to the letter. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm sorry to be so long in writing again, but all my writing paper was lost the night the dormitory was burned down by demonstrators. I'm finally out of the hospital, however, and the doctors say my eyesight should be back to normal sooner rather than later. The wonderful boy, Bill, that rescued me from the fire, kindly offered to share his little apartment with me until the dorm is rebuilt. He comes from a good family, so you won't be too surprised when I tell you that we're going to get married. And Mom and Dad, I know, in fact, that you always wanted to be grandparents, so guess what? In 2 more months, you're going to be grandparents. Now, please disregard everything I've written from above. It was just practice in English composition. There was no fire. I haven't been in the hospital. I'm not blind. My eyes are quite fine. There is no Bill. In fact, I have no boyfriend at all. I am not pregnant. You're not going to be grandparents at all. But I did get a D in English and an F in chemistry. And I wanted to make sure you received that news in proper perspective. Love, Mary. Proper perspective is a very important thing to have when we consider our relationships and the act of reconciliation. Sometimes if we are not careful, we can lose focus. Focusing on the small things rather than the big things, which are what is truly important. So this morning, let's see how we're called to look at the world and the relationships we have with reconciliatory eyes. Now, the Old Testament story that highlights the power of reconciliation is the story of the patriarch Joseph. This morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 7 this morning. As you turn in your Bibles with you, the words will also be displayed on the screen behind me. We're going to be picking up on the end of Joseph's story. So what has led Joseph to this point this morning? Now, most of us know the background of Joseph, but for those who need a little bit of refresher, here's the small story of Joseph. Joseph was his father's favorite, which did not sit well with the rest of his brothers, the siblings. This caused lots of tension between them and their relationship. In fact, there was so much jealousy that the brothers saw Joseph coming one day and they decided, you know what, we're going to plot against him. So when Joseph arrived, they grabbed him, threw him down in a well, and instead of killing him, which was initially their thought, they decided to sell him into slavery to a group of Midianites that were passing by. Well, they went back and told their father that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast, taking a cloak, the colorful coat that his father had given him, showing it smeared with blood. In the meantime, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, the captain of the Egyptian Pharaoh's guard. He excels in this newfound role, and he is placed in charge of the entire household. Well, one day, Potiphar's wife recognizes and sees Joseph and says, "I want Joseph," and tries to seduce him. Joseph rejects her advance and actually flees, infuriating her. She accuses Joseph of rape, and Joseph is thrown into prison. Joseph remains in the Egyptian dungeon for many years, a far cry from living with his father and his jealous brothers. One day, the Pharaoh had a troubling dream that no one could interpret. Joseph had interpreted dreams in the dungeon with some other fellow prisoners, one of them being the cupbearer, and he is summoned to the Pharaoh's side to interpret the dream. Joseph interprets what is about to come for the nation. 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Pharaoh is impressed and appoints Joseph to be head of all the preparations for the famine. He becomes second in command in Egypt. As the famine hits, the surrounding people begin to starve, so they make their way to Egypt to buy food that Joseph had helped store up. Guess who a few of those people are? Joseph's brothers who needed food. While they did not recognize Joseph, he recognized them. Joseph first accused them of being spies. So to prove themselves, they had to return home to retrieve their youngest brother while Simeon, the oldest, remained in prison. When they returned with Benjamin, they ate together. They gathered their grain, and they were set off to leave. But Joseph sent off some servants to stop them and bring them back, accusing Benjamin the youngest specifically of stealing. Now this is where the story picks up this morning. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 7. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." When it comes to showing love through reconciliatory eyes, we must choose between blaming and blessing. It appears Joseph had every right to blame his brothers for what they did to him. After all, they wasted a large chunk of Joseph's life because of their jealous insecurities. Yet, this all comes down to perception. We can see in this text this morning, in verse 5, he says, "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." You see, in life, we can either see the big picture or see the small picture. The big picture is how God looks at the world with reconciliatory eyes. In this story, the small picture focuses on all that Joseph had to go through, seeing what his rotten, insecure brothers did to him. However, the big picture shows that God had chosen Joseph to use him as an instrument, not just to save his family, but to save an entire nation. You see, in our lives, we can choose to look at the small picture. Unfortunately, that's what we often do. The troubles that exist in our lives, the people that may or may not have caused harm in them. Or instead, we can see and look at the big picture. We can choose to focus on God's plan through these circumstances. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." But it doesn't stop there. John 10:10 says, "My purpose is to give you life in all its fullness." Let's go one step further. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Choosing the blessing over the blame frees us for God's purpose. But that's not just all. The second thing we need to remember about showing love through reconciliatory eyes is that we must choose between resentment or rejoicing. The Lord gives us the power to choose. He doesn't choose for us. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." If we allow God to work in us, he can take our bad experiences and somehow bring good out of it. That's how powerful God is. He uses our imperfection for his good. For Joseph, he could have remained looking at the small picture, which was focusing on the pain from his past experiences. We can choose to do the exact same thing, to look at the pain and live in the pain. Or we can take a look at the big picture. Instead, focusing on the purpose in life that God has for us. If Joseph would have kept holding on to the resentment that he could have easily had for his brothers, think about it. He had been separated from his family. He hadn't seen his father in decades. He had been sold into slavery. We're not told all the details of the pain that he went through in that experience. He spent many years in the dungeon of the Egyptian dungeon. It's not like jail cells of today. The Egyptian dungeon was much, much worse. He could have resided and lived in that. And if he had done that, he would have failed to see that God was ultimately using him to save his own family. His own family. God used this entire situation for Joseph to save his own family. But not just his own family. Everyone's family. An entire nation. God's purpose for Joseph was restoration and rejoicing. It was not resentment. Are you holding any resentment toward anyone or anything right now? It is like that gnawing pain and power that can eat at you and eat at you. If you're holding on to any resentment, I encourage you to let it go. Not just let it go and say, I'm free from it, but give it to God. That's what Joseph did. He gave it to God. Imagine if Joseph allowed resentment to overtake his heart. He would have probably killed a nation, and he definitely would have killed his family rather than save them. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice in the power, the foreknowledge, and guidance of the one who sees the big picture, not the small and the little, which is what our eyes oftentimes focus on. The third and final lesson we need to learn about showing love through reconciliatory eyes is that we have the choice between rejection and restoration. Everyone feels rejection at one time or another. We've all felt it. Whether you were trying to make friends and they dismiss you, applying for a new job and you don't get it, trying out for a sports team and you get cut, or simply trying to get invited to lunch by one of your coworkers and they failed to give you that invitation. We've all felt rejected. It hurts. It's painful. Listen to Joseph's words in verse 8. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord over his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. If we maintain looking at the small picture, we choose to focus our feelings on rejection, the disappointment, the hurt that we felt in the moment. However, Joseph's words and God challenges us to focus on the big picture with reconciliatory eyes. Focus on God's faithfulness through this time of disappointment. Instead of being torn down, we can be restored. But not just for ourselves, but the relationships that need mending. Listen to these words from Paul. A man who suffered rejection and pain tremendously. Reading 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do not get caught in the emotions of rejection and stew there. Move above and beyond and allow God to restore our lives and our relationships to what He desires them to be. you seeing the world right now? Are you looking at the world at the small picture? Or are you looking at the world with the big picture? May we use Joseph as our model, as one who used reconciliatory eyes and restored relationships that many of us, quite honestly, would have given up on. What type of reconciliation needs to take place in your life today? Is it reconciliation with God? Is it reconciliation with a family member? Is it a reconciliation with a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student? Are you ready to take the steps necessary to show the love of Christ by offering reconciliation? Because we have to take that first step. Notice it was Joseph who took the first step and not his brothers. It all begins with how we look at the world. Put aside blaming, put aside resentment, put aside the rejection. Choose blessing, choose rejoicing, choose restoration. And I hope you'll see the big picture, because guess what? That is what he's looking at every single day. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for a model of reconciliation in the story of Joseph. One who could have easily given up on his family for what his family members did to him, but instead he saw the big picture of how you crafted and used him to save a nation, to save his family, and to save his relationship with them. Father, wherever we sit today, whatever reconciliation needs to take place in our lives, whether it's with you, with others, in a situation in our lives, whatever needs to take place, may we have the desire and the focus to be willing to choose blessing, rejoicing, and restoration instead of blaming, resentment, and rejection. Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance as we seek to be reconciled with you and the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, maybe there's something that has been tugging on your heart. Maybe the words, the story of Joseph today, maybe it was one of the songs our worship leader sang this day. Maybe something just been speaking to you and you need to come to God today. I'll be down front. Come talk with me. Let's talk about what needs to take place in your life. Maybe it begins with your relationship with him. Maybe you haven't turned your life over to him. I'll be down front. Let's talk about what it means to be restored through him. If you have a family member that you're struggling with, the altar's open. This is God's altar. It's not my altar. Come and I'll pray with you. Spend some time alone with him in prayer. Whatever you need today, whatever decision you need to make, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning.
Oh,
we leave today, go knowing that you are called to see the big picture. Look at the world through God's eyes. And wherever reconciliation needs to take place in your lives, don't put it off. Take that first step, just as Joseph did. Make a difference in your life, in the lives around you. Go in peace, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning.